Karen wants to take over.
Corolla.
She told me that. She told she's tired of all this doing nothing. She's going to take over and lead the way.
Okay, good.
Going to lead a revolution.
That's true. It's Canadian Revolution.
We're ready.
Revolution.
White House clinic.
And I will ask her questions.
You will ask her questions?
Yes.
Cool. Okay, ask me questions.
You guys can ask her questions. Just don't lead her astray. Don't waste time.
How would I know that? Okay.
Okay, so what are we doing here?
I don't know whatever Karen's going to do.
Oh, is
so
that
Karen, when you were talking to Roger over here, what did he ask you to do?
He asked me what works.
He asked you what works
in
life?
In my clinic, in my
practice. Oh, in your clinic.
He said, how's business?
Business
is? Busy.
Okay.
And then he said, so what works?
What works?
He said, in what sense? He talked about relieving their symptoms.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he said, I don't know, it's up to you. What works? So I decided to address what works in terms of the stuff we're talking about, helping people see how they function in the universe, let's say.
Okay,
because
now...
Because I don't want to say introducing them to their eternal selves because they have no clue.
What's the purpose of your clinic?
What's the purpose
of
my
clinic? Yeah, people
come
there for what?
Oh.
Entertainment.
Body work.
Body work. Relief of pains and symptoms and illnesses?
Pain and symptoms and of, yeah.
Okay, so they come through the door and they expect some relief.
Yes.
They're looking for whether they expect it or not.
See, okay. I asked her, what does she advertise?
What did she do? That's right.
What does she do?
Ah, what does she do? Not what they expect.
Yeah.
And you asked me that too, and I just said body work because I was
trying to actually, I asked, what do they expect? He said, do you advertise? So, what are you declaring and putting out there? That's a good question because I always have a problem with that. So, what sign did you hang on the door? What internet message did you post?
Registered massage therapist, do massage therapy, craniosacral therapy, manual lift drainage.
She just told what you did, not what it's for. They just know what it's for.
Yeah, that's
therapeutic versus relaxation.
Yeah.
And are you relying more on other people, word of mouth kind of thing?
And I said, which is most successful? She said, that depends on the person who comes with a problem. What depends on the problem?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Now
so
she's going to give us a hypothetical.
A hypothetical...
patient who comes with a problem, what do?
Okay,
like history or what do you do?
Yeah, I get them to fill out my form, which is very basic, and then I ask them a bunch of questions. What happened, what's the history of the malfunction or whatever it is? How is it affecting your life? What's it keeping you from doing? How are you dealing with it? Have you seen anybody else for it? Are you taking any medication? Etc.
Okay. Well, you're just still talking about your practice, so
okay.
And then?
So then, depending on, let's say I'm got somebody with TMJ problems.
Okay.
Wait, what?
TMJ problems. So I will talk to them about the treatment. I often feel them out a little bit to see what they think will work for them and what they're expecting. Typically with TMJ stuff, we go to working inside the mouth, so I get their special permission from working inside their mouth because that's a bit of a touchy place.
Okay.
And you have to make sure that they know what you're... I mean, it's always informed consent. I have to tell them what I'm doing, but with working inside the mouth, I make extra effort to make sure...
You say you're telling them what you're doing. What are you doing?
I'm going to... get them to lie on the table, likely face up. If there's some neck and shoulder involvement, I might well give them a little bit of a sort of a massage-y start to their shoulders and neck. That gives me a chance to get to know them a little more and them to get to know me, so there's a bit of a trust thing developed.
Why do you care?
Because... I can't. There's a couple of reasons. I mean, if we're talking strictly therapy, massage therapy, I can't get them to relax though totally unless they trust me. If
why do you care?
Why do I care? Because I want to be effective.
Why do they have to trust you?
If they don't trust me, they're not going to open their mouths as wide. They're not going to relax their muscles. They're not going to tell me their stuff. They're more so.
They shouldn't need to have to tell you their stuff. You should tell them their stuff. Maybe that's the problem.
Is there a problem?
If there's jaw problems, maybe that's the problem.
That they talk about their stuff too much. They need to be told about their stuff.
You need to give them a different perspective.
So a jaw problem is likely about their words and their way they're describing or talking or complaining about their lives.
Okay, let's assume that.
Right? So if they trust me, they're more likely to be able to tell me what's going on with them.
Why don't you tell them?
I have to find out about them before I can tell them.
Why? You should know everything you need to know.
Why should I know everything I need to know?
Because a patient came to you, and from all the things we've talked about so far, you should already know.
How is that from the things we've talked about so far? I should already know.
The conflict between their personal self they are living and the eternal self they sense or want to live but aren't.
Okay.
I think that's the basis of the whole book here.
And if they have jaw problems, there must be a problem in their expressing that or in taking in stuff relative to that.
Oh. So that area of, like, the jaw area,
can be
speaking it or
mastication.
It tells you very quickly.
To chew up it and assimilate what they bring into their body.
The specific of the problem.
And you can take that specific and relate it to how they're living or resisting their own self.
At least you should bring that up to them.
And then a lot of times it shoots pain into the neck or the
I was going to say it's often associated with neck problems.
I think it's I get two things here. I get the details.
What is the neck problem?
Well, see, TMJ is a dental thing.
Well, and a neck problem is, in some way, difficulty or pain with taking all your thoughts and getting them into the body.
Well,
of your
see how much you already know about this patient.
Mm-hmm. I think what Roger was saying though is just you can start broad and already have context. And break it down. You don't need all the details before you come up with the picture. I think I heard say you already have the picture. Now you just got to figure out how and in what ways they are or not doing it.
So in my practice, if I come on with somebody who just walks in and I've never met them before, and I start telling them, my belief is that we've got to develop a rapport and a trust before I can tell them that kind of stuff. Or they're going to say, who the hell are you? Report me to my college and that'll be that. It's my license and they're gone.
That's an interesting thing to
know. Why not?
I
spent 50 years telling my clients what they needed.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody reported me.
Yeah.
And when they did report me at the end,
the way you do it.
Yeah.
It got dismissed. Yeah.
Did you know? So, do you understand? Did you ever think about?
Well, and that, I get there. And we talked about this earlier. Sometimes it takes me several appointments to get to a place with each person, and I don't do it with each person. Sometimes I don't even go near this stuff.
Yeah, I know. There's people that you just say.
Totally. And I feel them out, and I probably am looking for the people that I think are receptive and developing a rapport with them
Is that realistic?
I think it is.
I think it's not.
I know.
Wait, realistic?
I know, but you would do it right off the bat. And I'm thinking I want to develop...
Don't limit yourself to having rapport first, is what I'm saying. Or you'll always limit yourself in your relationship with him to having rapport first. and you're never going to have rapport with him.
But coming in right off the bat and saying, I think your behavior shows me that...
I didn't say you start.
No, it's not.
Start off
it's not like
accusing.
That.
Yeah.
Well, no. That's why I said it has to do with the way you say it. Mm-hmm. Did you know? Do you understand that this might be?
Mm-hmm.
That perhaps? In what ways are you?
Okay, so if somebody comes in and they got the TMJ thing, and I say, did you know this could be part of a difficulty in bringing, masticating, chewing up the stuff that you're bringing in and getting it presentable for the rest of your body so that you can make use of it, they are likely immediately going to jump to I'm causing my problems by. Do you know what I mean? That it's not...
You see what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You're justifying yourself.
You're justifying your actions.
Okay.
Why are you afraid of this is what my question would be.
She doesn't want her customer to have a surprise.
I asked
like,
her.
Okay. All right.
Okay, Simone. Tell her what's going on here.
You asked her.
Not her, her.
You're a massage therapist.
with the jaw?
No.
With how she's approaching
with this whole situation.
How you get directly to the forever living part of it.
I normally, or let's say in general, I say, I introduce you what I see for with this outpicturing. I don't use outpicturing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, say with your problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say what I know.
That's what all you guys do. Ask the other person to give you the solution rather than you telling the other person.
No, she said she says what she knows.
I said it the other way around. And then my following question would be, they may say, okay, something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, can you see you in this?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see in what way you might doing this? And some of them, they start speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Do these people expect this when they walk in? Or are they just expecting massage?
Depends on what they're signing in. I have regular massage clients, they don't want to speak about everything they want to
do. When you're advertising,
relax.
Do you say interpretive or anything about?
It can be written on my website.
We should look at your website.
Yeah, you read German, Swiss German.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I read it in German. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. Again, it depends on the patient, but, you know, there are times when it's that happens in the first 20 minutes. And there are times it doesn't happen for a few appointments.
Mm-hmm.
And times it doesn't happen at all.
What if it shouldn't depend on the patient?
What if, say again?
What if it shouldn't depend on the patient? It should only depend on you.
Then it depends on when I'm ready to say it. I could say
so
it.
So now we just discovered a whole lot about you, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the right environment in order to say it.
Okay.
Why is that? Why must the other person create the environment so you can say it? You have a TMJ problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there should be any surprises. Your clients coming in should know that's part of the program.
What?
Her clients coming in should know that they are that's part of the program.
No, they shouldn't.
Why not?
My clients never knew I was part of the program.
They didn't know what they signed up for.
Okay. Sounds like a joke, but it isn't.
Well, the thing is that you'll draw to yourself those people that are.
Yeah.
I must do the best me. Regardless of them.
Mm-hmm. Besides, the other thing is you'll be surprised that people that you never thought were open to some of this stuff mm-hmm. are open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And others aren't.
Yep.
So they're going to let you know.
Yeah. Yeah, some people you think are not. Yeah.
And vice versa.
And then how do you know when they're ready? Or that they're willing, or that they'll participate? That can be very deceptive.
Yeah, well, you don't, and it's interesting because, you know, TMJ, is it possible that, you know, issues with your jaw could be things that we talked about earlier or could represent a problem of that kind, and they'll often come back with, oh no, my dentist said it's because, you know, the way I got kicked in the head by a horse, or the way I chew my, you know, they'll bring it back to a
cause and effect.
Oh,
yeah.
Conventional, like they'll come back to a really.
But there's always
an
easy comeback to that one.
Mm-hmm.
What if that's not what's really going on?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's something even far beyond that that your dentist doesn't even realize or understand at this point?
Mm-hmm.
That he's never been trained in.
Yeah.
Because you've come to me because the dentist was unable to deal with your problem in his environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've come to this environment to get something more, something other, something different.
Yeah.
And in that, I offer you this.
Mm-hmm. The people that come to me and say, I want craniosacral therapy, are usually the most open to that kind of approach.
Yes, because that's much more of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you don't offer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You still offer it. And if they say, well, I'm not really interested in that, well, then you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just say, okay, fine. Then we'll just do the everyday, whatever approach.
Yep.
And we'll not do all the extra bells and whistles.
that are included at no extra price.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I was wondering if you sort of have a little fear about how your patients will think and react about.
Well, she's already said that.
Yeah, but she didn't say she really fears it, though. I mean, do you think you fear it?
So I don't want to. So I figure I've got this, like, regulated practice. So I've got the college overseeing everything we do, and there's a whole lot of issues right now in BC with massage therapists stretching outside of what they're supposed to be doing and getting in trouble for it. So I want to, there's if I'm speaking to them about,
like, cabin boys,
things of the emotion, things of the emotion, or what they'll interpret as things of emotional stuff, head stuff, rather than the physical, this muscle is tight and that joint is tight and stuff, am I going to be straying into the realm of something I'm going to get in trouble for? There's that.
How are you going to get in trouble for?
Practicing medicine, like psychiatry.
Yeah,
or
practicing psycho, whatever, talk therapy.
You have a license, that's part of your presentation.
You have to get.
I don't have a license to do talk therapy.
No, but you have a license to do what you do.
Wait, yeah, but you just said earlier. Just saying, you said earlier you have to create a rapport with the patient.
Does your license does your license restrict you? I got shit for it. As an architect.
Yeah.
I was being sued, and I told him to go to hell.
Yeah, I know you're a whole lot braver than I am.
But what if you gave up cause and effect and started allowing everything in your approach to be emergent?
Yep.
What if? Maybe that you wouldn't have to worry about it coming up because mm-hmm. it wouldn't happen.
Yep.
You gotta take into mind that the fears of what will happen are now put as one of the constituents into what you're doing.
Yeah. And so in my practice, I actually don't, when you say, do you fear this or do you fear that? And when I'm going about it in my practice, I don't think about that at all. It's like I'm just looking, people come in and I don't know what process I go through to decide who I talk to about it and who I don't, but it's not a process of fear.
Well, I want to know what
it's
you talk to.
Process
what you
of,
mean by talk to
them. Oh, there's
them
somebody
about
that I know. This is, like, I'm pretty sure
how do you
this
talk
is an
to them?
Interesting subject for them.
How do you talk to them?
I'll ask them. Like I said, I ask them, we go through the history process and find out what's going on. I might well say something like what we were talking about earlier. What do you know about what if your TMJ problem was a difficulty in processing stuff that you're bringing into your life?
Processing what?
Stuff you're bringing in terms of the prescription area. It's food, so it's nourishment. Stuff you need to
nourishment for self and others.
Nourishment, things that you're going to bring in and take apart and make useful for yourself in the way you do your life. I mean, you asked how do I speak to people. I mean, I don't go into that much detail at the beginning. It's going to be.
But maybe you should.
Maybe I should. Yeah.
I said I was going to ask questions.
Yeah.
So maybe you should. Why are you so afraid?
What am I thinking about? Yeah. Up until, like, so Roger, you guys are saying, what are you so afraid of? When
I didn't say that.
Why
said,
are you so afraid?
So afraid.
In my practice, I'm not aware of being afraid at all. It's not a thing of.
Didn't ask you whether you were aware of it.
So yeah, so that's what I'm thinking about. Where am I afraid? What am I afraid of? I'm afraid of right now doing this wrong so that we get into a place where you're yelling at me. I am afraid of that. Mm-hmm. Why am I afraid of that?
I'm not, not yelling at you.
I know you're not. I'm basing it on history. You really want to know what what I'm thinking? That's what I'm thinking. Oh, shit. How do I do this right so Roger doesn't yell at me?
Is that what you think with him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
See what you're doing to her?
Oops.
If he's doing it to me, then how are you not doing it to me? How
I didn't
be
say I wasn't
doing
it to you.
Okay.
People keep coming back and saying nobody can do anything to you.
Yeah.
That's really not true.
Yeah. But it's what you do with it.
It's what I do with it. Yeah.
No, how you feel about me, just to say.
Yeah.
So what if you're running it?
Well, anyway, so what do we do with this patient?
What do we do with this patient? So
yeah.
We tell him.
Do we have a birthday cake and get on the good side and happy birthday and then now we're...
I don't even remember. I don't remember birthdays very well at all, so no, I don't.
So now we
okay.
have a rapport.
So the first day they're in there, they come in with their TMJ thing and I get the very basics and then I say, is it possible that there might be something else going on here besides the physical issues? Is it possible that...
What would anybody
yeah,
else say?
No,
in stating it that way,
mm-hmm.
you set them up for
doubt.
Yeah. Instead of saying, did you know that there's a correlation between your body and things that are going on in your life?
Okay.
Could we not explore that together and see if there's some, you know, what is your body telling you?
Mm-hmm.
What is it talking to you about?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not judging you in any way. It's just saying, this is the way we're living life.
Yep.
And we're living life this way, and in doing that, I outpicture, in this case, pain in my joint up here.
Mm-hmm.
So what might be going on?
Mm-hmm.
You take them on an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You get them excited about exploring it with you in a way that they're part of that adventure.
Mm-hmm.
If you sit there and just tell them, then it can be squirmy and uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You see the difference
yep.
in that approach?
Yep.
And I think that's why you're fearful of it.
Oh, is that like you guys always used to say, like, not to just roll out everything we knew about the discretionary on somebody? Maybe, like, tell them more, like, oh, I don't know, take it to, you know, they have a greater image that they want to speak, or I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, but sometimes you get them to say, well, what do you do with this joint?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So that relates to your life in this way. So can you see how that's telling you that something is going on there, that you have a struggle there in some
mm-hmm.
way?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem
anybody,
is,
for the most part, would
doesn't
accept
the TJN
that kind
already
of thing.
Show what
they
the
don't
struggle
have to be
is.
Really set up for it or
mm-hmm.
be the type that explores that kind of alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you said, did you know that there's a correlation between people that have this issue and people that whatever? I like those words.
But then you know what happens.
I don't
next?
Like those words at
they
all.
They go, where did you learn that?
Yeah.
And you have to quote your source. Mm-hmm.
But it's about
Roger.
Being the best Karen.
I am.
Not
the Book
being
of Promise,
you
can quote this book now.
But
you know?
We can find better words for her to use.
Okay.
Then can we find words that Karen, I mean,
that
as an
I
observer,
will buy into.
We're never
going to
necessarily find words that Karen's comfortable with.
But what words does she... What
I want
she,
words that work for the patient.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care whether Karen's comfortable with the words or not.
Wait, is it about being the best Karen or doing the best for the patient?
Doing the best for her patient.
See, I thought a couple months ago you would say you really go to a guy who's going to do the best for him because he'll do the best work. Oh, I get what you're saying. She might limit that to what she's comfortable with or something, or what she thinks. Okay, that's for the patient. Go ahead.
If she's getting the habit of doing this, then she doesn't have to express it all the time.
I don't understand what you just said.
Can you repeat that, Roger? That sentence, just repeat exactly.
If she'd get in the habit of expressing this, she wouldn't have to say it all the time.
It would just be part of the conversation.
She would know it directly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the purpose of my discretionary is. It's not for her to tell the patient what's wrong with them, but for her to know what's wrong and know what questions to ask.
So if she was to have them do an online form before the appointment to describe the problem, she could check the discretionary update.
No, you're looking for the patient to give you a fucking answer. That's what I'm trying to get her not to do. I want her to tell the patient.
So you want the patient to come in, tell you nothing, and you just tell them all about themselves.
That would be fine.
But that's not in context with what their upset is about, right?
Well, we already know that the patient comes in with a TJM problem. TRMJ.
Sacromandibular joint.
They tell you on the phone.
Oh, well, that's all I wanted to know. She knew in advance. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying that's getting the patient to give
you
the answer.
So, like, I've got, you know, we started talking about this stuff years ago when I was teaching writing lessons.
And
I've got
so here
this,
we are years later. And we're still back at the same
in
point.
In the back of my mind, I've got this filing cabinet of, okay, here I've got this person that's had this issue and that person, so TMJ issue, or can't post on the right diagonal horse riding issue, or you know, like can't turn their head to the right issue, and those things I can pull out the descriptionary at my leisure and understand what that means, and then have that in the back of my mind for the next person that comes in with that issue.
Oh, okay.
Which is what we talked about years ago, so that I'm going in and you can deal with it in the moment because of what you've learned in the past from previous people with these particular issues.
Sort of.
Well, that's... So then we can, I mean, if I've got somebody with a TMJ issue, and well, usually if my hands are in their mouth, I'm not going to ask them to talk to me, but but can I not ask them questions like, do you have issues with...
Suppose I say you're not allowed to ask them any question.
Okay.
Tell them what's wrong.
Then I come back to the Misty's thing of there's a correlation between people with neck problems and people that can't pick and choose what they want to do with themselves, and they're
Why are you comparing one person with another person?
That's what a correlation does.
I know, but why do it?
Oh, he didn't like the way she said
it.
He only likes the way he wants to say it. So what do you think is an effective way for a person to come in?
Yeah, what should I say? I'm your patient.
I'm not interested in what's an effective way for the person to come in. I mean, what's an effective way for her to do something?
Okay, let's change roles. You're the therapist, and I'm coming in with a TMJ problem. What do you say to me?
Well, first of all, don't I know that whatever your problem is, the illness or the problem or the disease reveals a conflict between your eternal self and your personal self?
You do know that.
If I know that, then TMJ is a specific of that conflict.
Yeah, okay. Brings it to a focal
point. She doesn't
want
to speak of it.
They don't want to speak of it, or maybe they speak of it too much? Is that possible?
Either or.
Yeah.
But in either case, speaking of it gets her into trouble.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so those are all things you know about me before I even come in.
I know that from the MRI, I mean from the intake form.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, I gave four levels of intake forms.
Yeah.
And had this kind of information on it.
So then,
I don't even need to see the patient. I know this is what's going on. And I don't make a relationship or a correlation with somebody else, because somebody else might have been not being able to speak of it from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll make the wrong correlation.
So then what do you do with it? I'm in your office now. I'm your patient.
Can I bring it up to you?
Can you?
Yes. Can't I?
How would you do that?
Just right out and say,
when you get your shit together,
there's this conflict between the self and life, the personal self and life you're living, and the eternal self you truly desire.
Okay, so right there, that's, if that was like the first thing that I said to a patient, I don't think I would do that. I don't think if you asked me, what are you afraid of, I would be afraid of doing that.
Well, if you did that for every patient that came in, that's a given on every patient. If there's on every person, actually, in the whole world.
You might find that after
you can just hear them when that is part of your,
fearful.
You know, you are here because there's an imbalance in your, you know, we call it this.
Yeah.
You know, if you'd like to learn more about that,
mm-hmm.
You know, we have volumes and volumes, and in about 20 years, girl, you'll get it.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Why don't you want to say that to the patient?
I think it's kind of outside of the way I am comfortable in running my practice. that I feel that I'm more of a conventional practice with a little bit of
is that
a
the way
of my,
are you,
different stuff.
Is that outside of the way you want to run your life?
That's a good question.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Exactly
it appears to be.
I'm sorry, can I just ask a question that I don't know your cabin boy story, but I'm hearing a bit of this, what they were allowed to do, what they weren't allowed to do. I know it was like how they were treated too.
Yeah.
But just are you really satisfied with that way of doing it?
Told the damn that's right, Ken's not here. Contractors, you can't tell me what I can do.
Yeah.
And then when they take it to the administration, I said, there's nothing that says that I'm limited to this, that, and the other thing. I can do these things unless you say I can't. She'll show me where it says I can't do it.
So I can be aware of, I can do a whole thing, understanding of my patient in my head. I can write it down. I can do whatever I want with
That's
it.
That's part of your intake. Of the patient.
And I don't, my understanding of every time we've had this conversation before is when we get to the end of it, I don't actually have to say it to them. It's.
But you know it.
But
you,
I know it.
But
and
then,
that's what I would
that's
say.
That's the whole description area.
I do. And sometimes I come to home and share it with him, and sometimes I don't.
Well, he may be the wrong one to share it with. He may not understand it either.
That's true. And the way I look at this stuff, I'm not sure that there's a wrong... If we start trying to ferret out the wrong way to do things, I'm going to drive myself crazy.
Maybe there
crazy.
Is no wrong way.
That's right. My point. I
that's
think
my
there
point,
is
too.
A wrong way.
That's
and
right.
That's why I've come right. to this place. I tried for a long time to... I struggled with how do I build... It was before I was even a massage therapist. It was how do I build my
the same way as you taught horseback
riding. Thing. How do I build that around Forever Living?
You
I've
set him up on the horse
all
and said,
all
ride.
Stuff.
Well, it's a small
ultimately,
world up there, right? I mean, most people know about your Forever
well,
Living.
Well, ultimately,
already,
what,
right?
what happens is people come to me, and what I get is a ton of personal referrals. And it's like, go to Karen, there's something. Don't know what it is, there's something. They don't know about Forever Living. But. So I did.
This is no longer about Forever Living.
Or Emergent Life.
Forget Forever Living. Forever Living gave you tools to work with.
But what I'm trying to tell you is I struggled for years of how do I force myself to do what I thought Roger wanted me to do, which was the first time I meet somebody,
what you
I ram a bunch
that
of
was
people
the,
that
was,
done
that is exactly a question I wouldn't ask.
Right.
What if you were just say, I'm going to do this way because I want to do this
well,
way. Now I'm going to figure out how I want to do it.
Okay.
Instead of how am I going to put you at zero.
Yeah.
Just that you're going to gives you position. And then you can say, now, how do I want to do it?
So what I'm doing is, like I do have this little filing cabinet in the back of my head about when people come in, the out pictures. I'm working on them. I'm adding notes to their little file folder in the back of my head going, oh, look at this, you know, descriptionary kind of stuff. I don't always share it with them.
Maybe you should.
Maybe I don't have to. Maybe there is no should.
What do you think?
Maybe there's
maybe
no
you
wrong
could.
Way to do it.
Maybe you
like
could
say,
and your fear stops you.
Or maybe
I'm
it's
just
okay.
guessing that you maybe you could share it with them.
Maybe I could. Yeah, I definitely could.
I know that you
absolutely.
Do sometimes.
Karen,
I do. We did it together when I was.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
I was up in Canada twice.
Oh. Talking for you.
So we did it together.
But is it with a stranger or with somebody? Was that an old time
patient?
That were clients.
Well, yeah, but was that client an old time patient?
I don't know that.
I don't remember.
Yeah. And we did even with Acorn.
Oh, the horse, yeah.
Yes.
yeah.
We gave Acorn an Asava massage and whispered in his ear.
yeah.
Karen, I was just kidding. Did you tell me, what was it you wanted to do by getting into this business?
Getting into massage therapy?
You chose that because what were you... thinking to do?
Well, it's make a living. Like, oh, okay. It's I mean.
What do you think she got into it for?
See, that's, Roger's never bought that from me. He says, no, it's not true.
Maybe but it's she good just money got into for the to effort. Make money and that was it. Maybe she only got into it to make money, and that was all she's bringing
she
into life.
For whatever reason, she didn't have to be involved. Massage or cranial sacral, she didn't have to be involved. Now, it's I've been pushing her ass about, get involved, goddammit. And she's going to resist and dig in her heels. She's going to lie, deny, and hide, whatever it takes. And we're not going to get anywhere until she's willing to decide to get involved.
So,
we're not going to get anywhere?
Am I not involved?
What?
Wait. No, I want to know that. We are not going to get anywhere? What does that mean?
And not in any kind of discussion. And it doesn't matter to go on with anything that's said in here with anybody until we get involved. You
so
think you're really willing to get involved with this stuff?
What does involved mean?
Live that. You can talk about it, but you don't have to live it. You don't have to do it.
What does doing it mean?
It's kind of like he would be talk about being a samurai, but when it came down to actually being a samurai and protecting the Lord, hell no. Mm-hmm.
So if I was a bank teller, would you be saying I wasn't living it unless I was talking to all of my clients at the bank about?
No, I didn't say that.
What's going on in their lives?
You might talk to friends.
Depends on what's going on in your life.
Say again?
It depends on what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
And what kind of answers I get.
So.
If you're living a declaration,
you might
then it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah, massage therapist.
You know, because it'd all be emergent and you'd be.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, like I guess I'm questioning where is the. When you say you're not involved or you're not living it, but I am sharing this stuff with people, but not all the time in my practice.
You're talking about it, but you're not necessarily doing it.
Or in my, like, you know, we do our meetings or whatever, and I have friends and I share it there. And,
you talk
you know.
About it and all of this stuff.
So, hopping and leaping and jumping, right? Like, what was this?
Jumping and flapping.
I don't know how. We come to this every time. I don't know what you mean by. You're not doing it, you're not involved. We're jumping and flapping, is that not involved?
No.
So it's like you've got something in your head that tells you, yes, these people are involved or they're not. And that's where I don't understand where the line is, what you want me to...
Because you won't talk to them.
I won't talk to them.
Directly. You'll only speak to those... who you do prior develop some rapport.
I've just made a decision that it doesn't have to be with everybody that I always
why not meet. Should be with everybody you meet
because,
on the street
because as we've talked about it before
if it's your life it should be wouldn't it
the filing cabinet in the back of my head
this is the way you do life shouldn't it be with everybody
and well and in that case yeah it is with everybody because I have the filing cabinet in the back of my head
but
I
don't
necessarily
use it.
Speak it to them.
You speak it to them, but that's all. You don't do it with them.
So if I spoke to them, then that still wouldn't be enough. I'd have to do something for
that's
them.
Like samurai. He has a big idea in his head, but until it comes out to be time to protect the Lord, then all of a sudden, no go. So what good were the ideas?
Oh, now I see what you were saying about cranial, sacral, and massage ideas into the body of life. that's what she's into, right?
I don't agree she's necessarily doing that.
Are you talking about craniosacral as a head thing?
I mean, of all the things you could have got into, I think he hit me earlier with, you know, of all the, why did you get into that? I was just thinking my words were, of all the things you could have got into, why that?
So you're looking at the interpretation.
It's a description of you.
Okay.
That's a physical
yep.
description of you.
Okay.
How you live it, though, is
yeah.
you know, could be struggle, could be
yeah.
as you truly desire okay. or whatever. So yeah. It's still a description of
yeah.
you. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we hear from you on Monday and he hears from you on Sunday or Tuesday? I went backwards.
Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of reasons.
Okay.
Part of it is,
tell me the real
as
reason.
I said earlier, I don't want to get into an argument with you.
You don't want to get involved.
No, that's your words.
It no, takes two to have an argument.
Yeah.
So they're my words, and I okay. stand by them.
Okay. Yeah. So you are.
If you're going to have an argument, you're as much a part of the argument as anybody.
Yeah. Okay. So, there you go. You asked why. That's one big reason. I don't want to get in an argument with you.
You don't want to get involved.
I don't agree.
I know you don't agree.
Yeah.
I say you don't want to get involved.
And I know why you don't want to get involved.
Why?
She actually has a fear of authority figures, and she sees her patients as her authority figures.
She is her authority figure.
There you go, then she's afraid of herself too.
And her eternal self is an authority figure.
Okay, there you go.
I'm certainly not.
She may view you as one, though.
No, not necessarily.
Maybe. Just my point of view.
She tries to cut me off at the knees. If I'm an authority figure, I don't have any need. Well, okay, where are we?
I don't know.
I think I'm going to ask you. What I think I'm hearing happening is, regardless of whether we say she doesn't want to get involved or does or whatever, I'm hearing a lot of holding back in one way or another. Mm-hmm. So is she really happy in that? Is that what's going on here?
Isn't that what I said in the first place?
That's the bigger picture.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to get involved.
But I mean, the holding back is not because she's feeling really relaxed and empowered in her life. It's like, this is the way I really want to do up to this point. Like she's holding back what she would do for permission.
Okay, why?
Afraid of the pushback from other people,
does
I guess.
Does why matter?
Yeah, I guess it does. No, it doesn't really matter. But I heard that one. So that seemed to be evident. Active at the moment.
See, you all spent oodles of time with dark mind and dark matter, and it made no sense to you. Now here, I'm trying to put this into an illustration.
All right, let's do that. You've done it.
What is dark mind?
It's everything you are, about 95%.
Is that why you're talking about?
Is that why I'm talking about?
It is that why that you're talking about. Why is she holding back?
Oh.
It's holding back. And okay. It is the why that she's holding back. It's all dark matter.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm not quite sure. I mean, that's intriguing, but I'm not sure if I follow you.
Ask him. He's bored with this whole conversation.
No, I'm not bored.
Bored.
No, I'm not bored. But that's intriguing that you say the lie is somehow dark matter.
Did you just say the why doesn't matter?
I said the why does matter.
Oh, okay.
You said earlier, and then you wrote, that we read earlier, that just enough came into light to provide a focus, because you didn't want to lose the expansiveness and the perception that's available in dark.
So because she's safe there.
She's safe there.
She can conjure up any response. Out here, she can't conjure up what I'm going to respond. And in her patient, she can't conjure up what her patient is going to respond. So she's trying to get a compatible response out of the patient before bringing anything up.
And she'll come out of dark just enough then.
Just
enough.
But then that means, I see what you're saying.
But so not enough to do the patient any good.
That's what I hear you saying. Right. So right. It's really, I mean, I'm sorry to say it, it's like more focused on self-protection than it is doing the patient.
Same way as samurai.
Okay.
Same matter.
Yeah.
Just, that's worth considering.
Yeah.
Instead of protecting the Lord or her protecting her patient. Yourself.
This goes back to, I mean, how many years have we had those conversations? When your focus is on your patient, right? Those fears and concerns aren't there. When your focus is really on your patient.
But we don't.
Doing them the most good.
But we don't.
Yeah. And that's an access for all that dark matter stuff, focusing on your patient.
That would draw through, bring more into the light then.
Than calculating it or remembering it by memories.
But she conjures up what the results is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
What they're going to say. What's going to happen.
Instead of giving the patient a true, authentic experience of themselves and their life. Now, bar none.
I had to tell the architectural board it's none of their damn business what I do. There's nothing that forbids me from doing what I'm doing. They can't tell me what I can and cannot. I told the IRS. The IRS tried to tell me what I can and cannot do in my business, and I told them to go to hell too. And they did.
I'm not willing to go to that point.
So to the judge.
I just want
to. The judge told them they cannot tell me what I can and cannot do.
But I guess the question is, Karen, if you earn your money, but you don't live yourself.
But that's the question. Is that like, so am I not living myself just because I'm not confronting every patient with
description? No, that's a way of characterizing it. That's a way of characterizing it. I wouldn't do that. I would ask, are you living yourself if you're holding back, even in making money?
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for permission, even in making money.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's one of the ways you have to. In order to live, to bring eternal self into your life, is to stop asking permission.
But with each one of us in our jobs, I could ask Pat the same thing. What's the picturing or you? What's the, what's with your boss or your client or whoever?
And he's always asking permission.
Yeah.
Or, and it's so like, where is the right amount of...
I think it's a right amount thing. I think that I could, if I could give you all the details of what and why and all the words he's saying that I'm picking out, I'm sure I could create a lot of resistance and a minefield of problems. I think the whole thing that we're talking about is, however I choose to use those same things, am I living the way I want to, or am I creating problems for myself? I'll agree, I'm creating a lot of problems for myself.
You're not writing that book for yourself, you're creating problems for yourself.
Yeah, right.
So you're not writing that book.
Okay.
So to the bank teller that doesn't say anything about people and how they live their lives.
Don't give me another example.
Stay with yourself. So if they are completely
don't compare yourself with somebody
or not
else.
Discontented with that if they don't have any sense of holding themselves back, then they're not holding themselves back, even though they never say a word to their clients.
That's right.
Right?
Oops.
So it's all down to how am I living this moment? How am I living this event in my practice?
I just assume you wouldn't be here if you were happy living
too much.
Say again?
You're justifying too much, so I know you're holding back.
Okay.
So Roger, are you saying everyone, maybe other than Missy, in this room?
No, everyone.
Okay, everyone.
Sure, we got involved in black matter and all, and the details of that, so we didn't have to understand what was going on.
I hold back.
Okay.
I protect.
So we're all doing to ourselves and our eternal being self exactly what she's doing with her clients.
Herself. Yeah, she's
just an example to show.
Likes attract.
That was what I was wondering if that
what?
Was.
Well, I just said likes attract.
Okay. Well, that I'm just looking out. As you. We talked before we started. You mentioned that we're not getting the bigger and the smaller picture. So is this the bigger and smaller picture that we're holding
we're
our own selves
about.
Back? Yeah.
You're willing to give a little 5% of yourself to the light or to a situation. But that's all. Until it becomes safe, you won't bring down the rest. You won't bring in the rest of yourself. He spends most of his time trying to find a safe place with me. There is no safe place with me.
I know.
We didn't notice.
See this.
No, what I wanted to find is a way that I wouldn't be reactive to you. That you could.
That's a safe place.
Well, that's safer than being reactive.
He's always going to try to provoke.
The Lord didn't do anything.
What do you want?
Samurai did it. Mm-hmm. The Lord just existed. And you got pissed off.
And ran away and spent the rest of that lifetime trying to find meaning.
And every lifetime since. And then if you find you give it away. Okay. This is in essence what the dark matter, light matter is all about.
This really, really illuminates it for me.
Does it? Can you explain that?
Well, what came alive for me is this dark matter conversation illustrated that, or showed me that, notwithstanding that before when Roger brought it up, there was this dark matter up there. And I had no idea of its relatability to me.
It's what you think.
Yeah, now that you've connected things for me, and I'm reading this and we're having this conversation, holy Dinah.
But
is
what's
it ever
the connection?
The connection is, that is me. That is me, not just this 5%.
So in this, okay,
in every
in this
area,
holding back or whatever, what's the dark matter?
Well, the
dark
whole
matter
thing,
is
the
his
words,
thinking.
The words in here that came out of the dark into the light only enough to focus, to preserve this stuff that dark matter, dark mind has. Only enough.
This stuff, what's the stuff?
Expansiveness and fantastic perception of all things.
Okay, so the...
And that, I value that. I'm getting all emotional. I value that. And I don't want to
bring
risk
it.
And I've convinced myself somehow or other that if I go too far out into the light, I'll lose that.
Okay.
And I'm afraid of losing that. I haven't seen that I can draw that out with me.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm seeing that now. I can draw
all of the half out with me into the light. And that's fucking fantastic. And I want to cry. It's so neat. Holy fuck. Son of a bitch, Roger. Thank you.
Well, let's see what you do with it.
That's right.
Don't thank me. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Pat. And thanks, Roger, for being my friend. And willing
so
to
if
share.
I kick ass, that's being a friend.
It is.
Right.
And that's all I'm doing is kicking ass.
And I know, and that is one of your most fantastic traits, that you wouldn't leave me alone. Thank you.
That's the meaning of the name Roger.
Oh, really?
Spearman.
Kick ass.
Oh, really? Spearman.
Spearman.
All right, he's living his name.
Spearman.
And it is as simple as that, isn't it? This little thing sticking his head out. See, it's all safe. I want to protect all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's all there. All there, not mysterious and unknown. I can draw out all of that and make it real in everything that I do.
You can, but there's too many reasons why you don't.
Well, let's see what I can do about that.
Okay, fine. She's not going to like it. Now what?
Well, actually, I think Karen will... Karen, I think, will say, can I come with you? Can we
ask
do that together?
Ask her.
Are you willing to come out and do this with me?
Sure.
Come out of the dark and bring it all with you into the light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. We can do
that. But right now, all she has, it's still in the dark because it's her conjured up mind of what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a different thing when she has to do it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But I'm not going to let that stop me. I want to come all the way out into the light.
I'm going to tell you to shave that mustache off.
You know, I get the bennies of it. There's young folks that are working in government. You know, these guys are about this age. I walk in the room and they think, oh, this is some kind of distinguished fellow. I better pay attention to him.
Because of what?
It's part of the uniform.
I figured that's what it was all about.
It carries all the excess butter when I have corn on the cob. Didn't you ever have a beard? No.
You saw about as far as it's ever gotten.
Right? Got a little bit. He's got a beard on right here.
It doesn't really grow in thick.
Oh, we've been on the left side.
Not that we missed him. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I want to keep on talking, because it's something I know that's important to me. I've already said something like this in the recent past. But I don't think I honor you enough for what you have done.
Piss off on that.
What's that?
I said piss off on that.
Well, too bad. I want to honor
you. You don't honor me enough about anything. You need to honor yourself, not me.
Well, in the process of honoring you, I'm honoring myself.
That's crap.
Well, it's what we do is what we have. And you've taught us that.
Well, then honor yourself.
Okay. Directly.
Yes, honor her.
Yes. No, I just get so relaxed. Doesn't have to be complicated.
I guess we should get back to the book then, huh?
Okay, what are we reading?
Turn it back on.
1:30 what?
I thought it was 1:40.
Oh, yeah. 144 or something like that was the last one we did.
We are on 145.
Yeah. Really? It's not 144?
144 was the one we just did.
Oh, okay.
And maybe it's time to decide. We can.
Yeah.
Are you the reader?
Where's that all wound up?
Percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 145. Don't do that. Okay, sorry.
1.4.
Did we do experiment?
Well,
probably. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes, I don't remember
because
it,
that tree disappointed me.
Read 144.
Yes, sir. In your experiment with life, this is 144, you chose to be particular and individual and be involved. But in that, you sacrificed expansive minding and extensive awareness and realizations. And that certainly didn't satisfy you. So you chose much less involvement in order to maintain a state of greater perception, hoping that would be more satisfying and fulfilling. But that too disappointed you.
That's everything we've just talked about with
right.
Karen.
Absolutely. That's in a nutshell right there.
Word for word.
Following quickly along with 145, maybe it's time to decide whether you would be happier or less discontent just existing in mind or being alive, and if you would rather be alive only as a personal self, and if you would rather be alive only as a personal self, or would you share yourself and life with an eternal abiding self?
That's where we got into Roger asking about samurai.
Okay. 146. Trying to live in harmony and in balance with the universe or even with the daily events will exhaust you without serving any real purpose. It is far better and more meaningful to live daily events in harmony with yourself, especially with your eternal abiding self. For the universe, which only reacts, will quickly get in harmony with, I bet you next word is you, and so it is. Live your personal eternal self as you truly desire without discontenting yourself.
Yeah, I have a question here.
You shouldn't have a question.
I do have one. So, the word harmony is coming up in this paragraph. And I remember the cards we did that was also, one was harmony. And it was saying, you are always in harmony with yourself.
But you don't think so.
Yes. I often don't think so, but what I'm right now living is in harmony with what I'm ready to live right now.
If you're ready to live something, you are living.
Maybe you're not.
Right, then you aren't. If you just say you're ready, uh-huh. That's like being in preparing.
Okay. But it is right. We are always in harmony with ourselves.
Don't be anything else.
Uh-huh. Unless you create disharmony. Discontent.
But even if I create discontent, am I not
in
harmony?
Aren't I in harmony with that?
Yeah. Like, no right when I do anger, I can be...
Yeah, but you don't believe it.
But I don't believe it, right?
Yeah, that's the point.
Yeah, so this last sentence would be, you will quickly realize that you're in harmony, the universe is in harmony with you. Right?
Good. Not necessarily.
Because the universe always is in harmony, even
that's
if I'm discontented.
That's easy to say, but you don't believe it.
Right. It is far better and more meaningful to live daily events in harmony with yourself, especially with your eternal abiding self. So, for the universe, which only reacts, will quickly get in harmony with you. So the universe is reacting to my living in harmony with myself and presenting as being in harmony with me. But it's always been in harmony with me and my discontent, too. Or my holding back, or whatever. It's always... I just don't believe it, correct? I don't. Am I getting that? Yeah.
I guess so. They're not believing it. Mm-hmm. It's leaking out for me.
So it's all a...
It's my view, how I see it.
How am I living it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what am I...
See it.
Willing to... See. Admit to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, moving along. Mm-hmm. 147. Seeking harmony and balance only results in discontent and will certainly not result in the self and life you truly desire. Take no thought or action that is against your true nature or your eternal self. If you act, if you act when your discontent is small and not intense, you may create or resolve matters without disturbance. But if you wait, both the disturbance and your discontent will expand and intensify and be far more difficult to resolve and be costly to the self and life you truly desire.
So that's living aware of whether or not I got discontent happening, and if I notice it, act while it's still, when I first notice it, when it's still small, and I can likely create or resolve without disturbance. Is that what it suggests, Roger? Catch it early?
When everything is going smoothly and your thoughts and actions are in harmony and they are in harmony with the flow and results of random events and conditions all around, you are not necessarily in harmony with life or with yourself as you truly desire. For under all this show, you may be quite discontent.
So when everything's running smoothly, everything's peachy keen, suggestion here is that it's not necessarily in heart, that's not necessarily being in harmony with life.
What's in harmony with the results of random events and conditions all around? What is that? What does it look like? Manifesting parking places?
What?
Is that, yeah. So this middle sentence, okay. When everything's going smoothly and your thoughts and actions are in harmony and they are in harmony with the flow and results of random events and conditions all around you, I'm asking for what's an example of that. I'm thinking perhaps manifesting parking places is an example of that.
Weren't you in harmony when you were teaching riding? Yes or no?
Yes.
Then why'd you quit?
I wanted to do something else.
Huh? I'm asking her. Then why'd you quit?
Because I wanted to do something else. I wanted to earn more money. I wanted to get something a little bit more reliable. I wanted to get in out of the
way. Could I ask you if you would be willing to teach riding eternally? And you said yes.
Yeah.
Now you're telling me no. So maybe you weren't in a certain harmony with yourself after all.
Or maybe I was, and there's multiple ways to express that. Many ways, infinite ways.
It seems to me that you're going to create enough excuses to justify it. Maybe you weren't. I'm suggesting that what I saw was that you weren't.
Okay.
And you protested and said you were. You would do that eternally, and then you quit. So I was right, and you were wrong.
Okay.
And now you're not listening. Is it possible you're going down the same pathway?
Yes.
Why? Nor is it more so that you don't like what you're doing.
I don't know how to answer your questions.
Is it possible you don't like what you're doing?
Sure, it's possible.
You're going to play word games with me, we're not going to get anywhere.
What do you want me to tell you?
I want you to tell me that just like a client that talked to me, playing word games with me doesn't solve any problems. And you all editing my errors or bad edits doesn't get anywhere.
So what if I didn't like what I was doing?
What is the possibility? Then what?
Then what? So that would mean I'm discontenting myself. And
then what?
I am not in harmony with myself.
Then what?
So then I'm living the conflict between personal and eternal being.
Then what?
Then I'm not bringing my dark matter into the light. I'm not accessing the expanse of eternal being.
Then what?
Closing down the 5%, 4%, 3%, making my little circle of light smaller and smaller, and probably increasing my discontent exponentially.
Isn't it possible that that's what you're doing?
That's possible.
Percent. Get in here.
Pardon?
Get in here. You're doing everything that she's talking about up to the 9.
Okay. Thanks for revealing that.
What?
do you know you like what you're doing?
You're asking me?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? You've been answering yes.
I thought I knew, and...
Well, tell me what was the way you thought you knew?
Because it's interesting, I enjoy it, I talk about it after work, I have...
Do you find your work with your clients interesting and enjoyable? Do you talk about it afterwards?
Yep.
With whom?
Well, Pat or other people. I have to
Why
be careful because I can't reveal personal information about people. But
why with Pat?
Because he's the one I'm spending, like, he's there. There isn't anybody else there in the evening. He's, we might explore things from a emergent life perspective. We might not.
That's not what I asked you.
Because we share stuff. Because we are doing this exploration together.
Your life is an exploration?
Sometimes, yeah, part of it. That's exploring, yeah. I want him to... why do I share it with Pat? I want him... I want his feedback. I want him to know what's going on with me, or...
What if he doesn't care?
Then I guess I would be just flapping my gums, as you say.
Would that be okay?
I suppose, yeah. Because if I'm speaking to him, even if he doesn't care, I'm hearing what I'm saying.
Then you're speaking it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then shouldn't you speak it to your clients, not for the client, but for yourself? And you're not speaking it to your clients means you're not speaking it to yourself. Then isn't that the reason that we're focusing on all this? Why are you not speaking it to yourself? And why shouldn't you speak it the moment a client comes in? So you can hear yourself. We used to do experiments. We had a regular weekly meeting, and one of them, the gal who was a nurse, brought in patient records. Of course, we didn't know the name or anything, but we knew certain thing about the patient, and it was up to us to say what was wrong with the patient. And we finally got to the point where we could almost always do that. And all we knew is a patient's, or a patient's name. We didn't know any more. And from that we could tell what was clinically wrong with him.
And you did that with your friends, or?
No, we did that with people we didn't know.
Yeah, but
in the group.
In the group.
Yeah.
The whole group was able to do that.
Okay. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, and we do that from time to time.
But I suspect you're afraid to do that. Or at least you're afraid to then voice your what your knowings are.
Since you're talking about Karen, I've been reluctant to jump in very much here. But there's just one to mention on this note here that around people that she's comfortable with, her ability to take symptoms and drill into what's going on in their lives is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
But with people she's comfortable with,
that's right,
and people with symptoms, there's a part we come into later on. Jesus healed people with symptoms. Joshua was able to heal people without symptoms. Which is greater, healing without symptoms or healing with them?
Without symptoms.
The greater is healing without symptoms.
So then are we talking direct perception, etc.?
Yeah.
Who's Joshua?
We'll get to Joshua.
Okay.
So when you're healing somebody without symptoms, what are you healing?
You tell me. You're healing the conflict between their personal self and loner self.
Personal self and loner self?
Yeah. Personal self and eternal self.
Eternal self.
Self.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Oh, good. I thought, oh, no, there's something else. I don't get. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, okay. And you're not talking about a disease without symptoms.
Yeah, it can be.
Mm.
It could be TJM.
TMJ.
TMJ. TMJ.
Temporal mandibular joint dysfunction.
Yeah, TMJ.
Okay. Your example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Could be a disease, could be an illness, could be
diabetes
a pain.
Diabetes that's under control.
What?
Blood pressure that's under control might be diseases without symptoms. Blood, but, high blood pressure that's under control or symptoms.
So
are
that.
Without symptoms.
There could be other symptoms.
So the other so there's always going to be symptoms, aren't there? Like the conflict between my personal and eternal self. My, can I say my personal and eternal selves?
Mm-hmm.
The conflict between those two is always going to have symptoms of some kind.
Right.
What are your symptoms?
You might not see them.
Yeah.
In
well,
the ordinary
yeah.
sense of seeing.
No, but it wouldn't take long in a conversation to hear them.
But then you're searching for symptoms in order to do something.
Ah, right. So Joshua healed them without
dealing with the symptoms.
Symptoms.
Without
and so that would be going directly to, without talking about your complaints about life,
yeah.
It would be going directly to introducing your eternal being.
Yeah. That's what you meant, Roger?
Yeah.
Yeah. Healing without dealing with the symptoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we,
I mean, that's
gone there
that's
before.
A fantastic
yeah.
approach.
And for a while there, we completely
isn't that what
out.
Chinese medicine was about? Of course,
healing.
Jennifer's not here.
My understanding of Chinese medicine, the little bit I know, is that it makes the body strong. So it doesn't attack
and
the
healer was paid for keeping the body strong.
Yeah.
No symptoms.
Yeah, it doesn't attack the disease. It makes the body healthy.
It wasn't a matter of then waiting until you had a problem and then solving the problem.
Which I sometimes when people come in with a very stiff neck, I don't work on the neck.
Yeah. Well, and it almost, I mean, I guess I was going to say it almost, I almost feel like I want to talk to people outside of a clinic, because in the clinic they're always coming in. to heal their problems. They always got symptoms. Yeah. That is their focus, my symptoms and getting rid of them.
Yeah, right.
And if I'm trying to get them away from their symptoms, I'm already in a struggle with them. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's part of my avoidance, is it's just easier to deal with those people in on the level that they come in. I've got symptoms I want to get rid of, and then do our meetings and our forever living or whatever outside of that.
And just and talk so I'm bullshit.
I'm segregating it.
And you're not involved.
Yeah.
But you don't have to get involved.
Yeah. But there is that, and it's something you've raised forever, which is that problem with patients. They come with symptoms and they want them dealt with.
So talk about your Thursday group. What symptoms do they have? Should we talk about Terry and Eric?
Nah. I'd rather talk about what's relevant here.
But they don't know these people. So these are people you think that are without symptoms. I think with terrible symptoms.
I didn't say they're without symptoms.
I think you did.
No, I didn't.
I didn't hear that.
No, not at all. I think they've
got
lots of symptoms.
And they are wildly with symptoms.
They got lots of symptoms. I just don't feel like talking about them when they're not here.
I could play back the tape and say, when you said this, that's what you said. Mm-hmm. When you said that, that's what you said. You didn't exactly say it in that way, but essentially, you did. People that come to the clinic have symptoms, mm-hmm. but not your Thursday night group, etc.
No, the Thursday night group has symptoms. I think what I would have said is the people that come to the clinic come very much with a focus of this is the problem and I want you to get rid of it. And Thursday night is more interested in...
Talk to me about Leah's symptoms. I could have told you that years ago.
Yeah.
That would.
So my take on
you
it is that
survive.
The Thursday night focus is not.
Thursday
I'm sure
night.
We go there, but I don't think that their focus is on solely on I've got symptoms and I want to get.
The hell,
rid
it's
of them.
Not.
And I know I was going to say, and you won't agree with me, but.
But you don't feel that you have to do anything. That keeps you safe. You all just pandered to Leah.
Wait a minute. If she felt like she had to do something, doesn't that also miss the mark?
Well, let's play the game both ways.
All right. I mean, I'm just saying, ideally for me, it's like, I'm thinking it's not a have-to thing. It's just how she's doing
it. I went down one way. Let's treat it that way, that discussion that way.
Okay, let's say everything that we've learned about how the universe works says you don't have to do anything. You're free to...
You don't have to do anything.
I'm just saying, I'm playing that out all the
but
way.
Then that upsets her.
No. If I'm living my life, I understand...
If a frog had wings, you wouldn't bump his ass.
Understanding emergent life and how
no,
the universe
No, I'm
works.
Not going to stop interrupting.
What do you want?
Because you keep throwing an if in there or something
okay.
like that.
Then
everything you say after if doesn't matter.
Understanding, okay, no if. Understanding emergent life, understanding how the universe works, I understand I don't have to do anything, and I'm living.
You're ifing all of, you're saying understanding these things. You don't understand these things. You're saying if you understand these things.
I thought you wanted to have a conversation about doesn't feel like she has to do anything.
What?
Ah, never mind. I don't know where we are.
I was trying to go from her discussion, from her groups to your groups.
Uh-huh. Okay. Can do that.
No, you guys are going to if me to death. And there's no conversation when you if.
Try again.
I guess I don't know how to talk about that, so.
Make positive statements. Don't make if statements.
Okay, well, since since we do understand how the universe works, and since we don't have to do anything.
Nobody said you ever have to do anything.
I know, but you said a second ago before we got on this tangent, you said
she doesn't feel like
she has to do anything. And I said, okay, yeah, I said, I took the other point of view that, yeah, if you felt like you have to do something, that's a problem too. So I was going for something different. But you say you want to play it this way. If we'll take the first thing you said, she doesn't feel like she has to do anything. None of us do. The universe doesn't put that obligation on us. Okay. We understand that. That's not an if. We understand that.
Bullshit.
I bet we could just stay right there and not go anywhere else.
Okay. Bullshit.
I think that we understand.
Go for it. Just turn up the volume on that percent. I need your help here. Okay.
Would you get me a kitchen towel?
Yes.
Well, ask him.
Okay, so Roger, the bullshit started or happened at the point when he said, we understand it. Is that when the bullshit hit the roof? Or was it the whole sentence, the whole paragraph? This whole statement.
Here's a nice set of kitchen napkin. Not a napkin for me. Towel. Kitchen towel.
That's a lap cover.
I meant.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Your participation helps.
Yeah, okay, good.
Mixes it up. He might tell you something you want to tell me.
See what a tangled web we weave?
Yeah.
I see what a way you can wrap my words around me and tangle
them
up.
You keep losing them by ifing and doing things or saying things, and she keeps denying.
Wait, you said she doesn't feel like she has to do anything. There was no if in your statement, right? I mean, I know that no matter what I say, it's not going to fly. So, what do you want to talk about?
Nothing, I guess. I'm trying to put all this shit into some example, real life example.
Yeah. I want to progress with that conversation. I mean, duly noted that I don't believe this, but this is the way I think and approach my life. This is how I factor in my decision at the moment.